Hi, I'm Carla Wainwright.
And I'm Little Leah.
And welcome to the Radical Sex Witches podcast, where we explore the themes of sexuality, feminism, consciousness, love, healing, ritual, magic, and all things witchy and wonderful.
Hello, all you bodacious babes of the boudoir. And welcome to another episode of the Radical Sex Witches. I'm Little Leah, and with me, as always, is Carla Wainwright. We're here to talk some business.
Beauty business.
Beauty business. Bow chicka wow wow. It's been a really long time since we actually did one of these. I was today years old, don't you think? I don't even remember the last one, but I don't remember 5 minutes ago.
I think the last one was the moon.
Oh, you might be right about that.
Yeah.
That was quite a while ago. So we're going to flip the narrative here of what we're talking about. They say beauty is in the eye of the beholder. True. But our standards for beauty are also very much influenced by the social and cultural standards of the day. Hell yeah. I've really upgraded my 46-year-old face thanks to TikTok. That's no lie. Mature makeup. So, not lying to you. People are like, did you get a facelift? Why do you look younger? Thank you, TikTok. Thank you, Erica Taylor on TikTok. And Lady Venom. Those are my top two go-tos for us old ladies. Anyways, throughout history, both women and men have done some pretty outrageous things to adhere to the beauty standards of their day. So today we're back, like I said, with another Today Years Old episode, and it's all about historical beauty trends.
Yep. Okay, so I'm going to kick us off with the ancient Mayans, and they took beauty cues from the maize god. And they had two main practices. So one was skull elongation and then also tooth inlays. And according to Extreme Makeover by Mary Miller, the ancient Mayans, they would press and bound the skulls into a variety of shapes, which the shape depended on where your place was in society. And to get your skull in the right shape, you had to start super early, like day 4 or 5 after
birth. Oh my God.
Yeah, so a baby was stretched out on a bed and their head was placed between two boards, one at the front, one at the back. And basically, and it's interesting because, you know, I've seen some of the carvings, like the old carvings and the stones at temples and things like that. And you see they have these like cone heads, these like really elongated.
Well, no wonder people think that like it was aliens coming from space, because, you know, there's always a lot of alien lore like associated with Mayan culture and like their temples and shit. No, they were just stretching their damn skulls
to look like corn. No, seriously, that, you know, they were like, you know, looking at the maize god, and that was anyway.
Wow. So
they also did tooth inlaying, which was a little less intense than the skull forming. And Mayans, ancient Mayans of all social classes, they would file their teeth into decorative patterns, which sounds really painful.
Yeah.
And then they would drill holes in the teeth to hold inlays of jade or pyrite, hematite, turquoise. Yeah. Ow. Jade was reserved for the social elites.
Oh, and you know, they didn't have any like really fun little tiny tools. It was probably big as fuck.
Well, they might have tiny tools, and they probably had some interesting narcotics to help the process.
Yeah, like, I see the corn god. I am cornholio. If you TP for your bungholio. Holy fuck. Let's just keep going here. We're going to go over to ancient Greece. Hippocrates created a mixture of cumin, pigeon droppings. Hey, if you listen to the last episode, I just said there's going to be poop, pigeon droppings, horseradish, and nettles in an attempt to cure baldness. And before that, in ancient Egypt, men blended iron oxide, lead, onions, honey, alabaster, and fat from various animals into a paste and applied it to their hairless heads. Shockingly, neither of these mixtures worked. How do you come to that point, though? Like, well, if we mix all of this together, like, maybe it'll just, like, grow hair.
I don't know.
And how long did they wear it for? How long did this trend go on for before they're like, man, we smell like shit and we're still bald?
I don't know. And maybe there was some delusion like, oh, I think it's working.
Oh, you know, there's at least one person that's like, yes, look, feel baby fat, baby hair.
Or, you know, that mixture just basically dyed the scalp and gave the illusion of hair.
It was molding. It was probably just molding on their fucking skulls and they thought it was hair.
You know, one of my favorite Calvin and Hobbes strips was where Calvin gives himself a haircut, or Hobbes gives him a haircut, and then he doesn't want his parents to know, so he takes a marker and draws in, you know, like makes his head yellow. So it's kind of like this. Maybe. You're next. I'm next.
You're next. Sorry about that. I was already talking about poop hair.
Okay, we're sticking with hair. So in the 19th century, women wanted these towering piles of hair like Marie Antoinette. And so they would make these incredible elaborate wigs. And what they used in those wigs was animal lard. So the hair had frames of wood and wire, and they were stuffed with cotton and wool and straw. And they had the hair draped over frames, and beef lard or bear grease held everything in place. And then they put a layer of powder over the whole construction. So as you can imagine, they probably were smelly and gross, but they were also super hazardous, and they gave people scalp scars and were, of course, filled with lice. And then the biggest thing is that the animal fat was highly combustible.
That's what I was just going to say. Like, is your head going to catch on fire?
And, you know, people use candles. So if you sat too close to a candle, something terrifying happened.
And somehow I've been given the next poop beauty trend. I mean, that's really on brand for me. The ancient Greeks and Romans bathed in crocodile dung to get better complexions. They thought the animal feces had restorative and beautifying properties, so they bathed in it often. Just imagine the smell. But let alone the smell, for people to be bathing in it, like, they had to have a lot of fucking crocodiles to be shitting all the time, to be getting that much shit. It would have to be fresh-ish if you're going to go bathe in it.
Who's the poor soul that had to go out and collect it?
Yeah, someone way down.
That was a dangerous job. Yeah. Next. Oh, Joe didn't come back. You're up. Yeah. That's a really hard one to understand. Like, really, did anyone's complexion? Maybe they did. Maybe, you know, the elite of the day were like, no, man, I look hot as fuck. Go get me some crocodile.
Maybe it did work. I would probably pick an Egyptian type beauty treatment over others. But you know what? I'm honestly right now thinking that, like, we're thinking about time machines in a really wrong way. Like, everyone's like, if I had a time machine, I'd go kill Hitler. No, I think we should go back and see how some of these things fucking came about and worked.
100%. Totally. I just want to, like, float and see all the things. Agreed. Okay. So during the Renaissance, women would bleed themselves with leeches to look paler. So, you know, at that time, and for a lot of time afterwards, women really wanted to look as pale as possible, because the idea was being that wealthier people didn't work outdoors and get tans like all of the plebs. So anybody with paler skin was presumed to be privileged. And so women would go and find leeches in ponds and then, you know, put them on themselves. But then all that blood loss made them paler and super anemic, and they probably passed out.
Yeah, no shit. And you can actually, like, get allergic reactions from leeches. I have a friend in Kentucky? I think so. And he's got all these exotic animals, and he's got these, like, Amazonian, he'll never listen to this because he'll be like, it's not Amazonian. He's got these really, like, exotic leeches, and he has to feed them once in a while. And he feeds them, obviously, on himself. And, like, he got rashes so bad once that we thought his hand was going to fucking fall off.
Well, you know what? I'm sure that
it's their stinging,
they suction on. Yes. Yeah, they have some, there's some kind of, like, chemical adhesive, and he probably had an allergic reaction to it. Yeah.
Big time.
But no, sounds bad.
So continuing on with the desire for pale skin, having an extremely pale, fair complexion was important to women in the 1800s. Upper class women wanted to show that they were wealthy enough to not have to work in the hot sun, and they wanted their skin to be so pale that it was translucent, so you could see it in their veins and their faces. So later on, the Victorians obsessed with death obsession with death meant that it was attractive for women to look sickly or dead. The Ugly Girl Papers by S.D. Powers, published in 1874. Wow.
That's a great title.
The Ugly Girl Papers recommended that women coat their faces in trace amounts of opium from lettuce leaves overnight and wash their faces with ammonia in the morning to ensure that they would always look as fresh and pale and dead as possible. Get that fresh, straight from the casket look. Drink a little arsenic. Again, in addition, arsenic wafers. Oh, that was a thing. Wafers, arsenic wafers were supposed to remove freckles and tans, making women look younger and more attractive. Women fully aware that arsenic was poisonous and addictive, but also chose to do it anyway for the sake of achieving delicious, their ideals of beauty. I didn't know they made arsenic wafers. I always just, like, I obviously knew about, like, the arsenic thing. I just assumed they were, like, taking little sips from bottles or something like that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, people, royalty used to do that too. They would take little bits of arsenic so that if they did get poisoned, it wouldn't kill them because they'd build up a tolerance. That was actually like the whole Medici time. Yeah. They were lots of people.
You want to swing my noblemen. Hooch? Want a swig of my hooch? Just like bringing out your little flask from your jacket.
But yeah, not sure where you get arsenic wafers from, but yeah. We're going back in time to the ancient Romans, and you know they did all kinds of crazy shit. Now this one's bonkers. They used Portuguese urine as mouthwash to make their breath smell better. So the Romans were pretty obsessed about white teeth, and so they even brushed their teeth with urine. And I like urine therapy's a thing. I know, like, lots of people think that can be super beneficial. So like that part's gross, but not, you know, over the top, but they preferred Portuguese urine over any other kind of urine. So I'm not sure how that all went down. Like, they guess they basically like forced all their Portuguese slaves to pee in bottles as mouthwash. Like, I don't know. It's bizarre.
You're only sterile to your own urine, by the way, people, not strangers.
Yeah. So urine does contain ammonia, which is a natural cleansing agent, but, you know, probably not worth the mouthwash risk.
Not for it to make their breath smell better. Hey, piss mouth. What's up? Why does your mouth smell like a toilet? I am the toilet. That's why. They just get their slaves to piss right in their mouths, probably. Swish that around.
Right. So, but here's the thing. Like, did that actually smell good to people? Maybe.
Well, maybe the Portuguese ate a very different diet compared to the Romans, maybe. Right? Because we all know, like, the whole, like, eating pineapple. Maybe they were eating something different. I don't know. Moving away from the water sports. People in the 1800s used tapeworms to lose weight. Well, no shit. Women purposefully ingested tapeworms and let the parasites grow in their bodies and consume nutrients. Of course, the women lost weight quickly. And to get rid of the tapeworms, they took pills or used special devices. This is just fucking disgusting. Dr. Myers of Sheffield invented a device that was supposed to remove tapeworms from people's stomachs. It was a metal cylinder filled with food that he would slide down the patient's throat. They were instructed to avoid eating for several days, which would force these tapeworms into that cylinder to eat the food. And in theory, once the worms were in the tube, he could pull the tube out of the patients and remove the tapeworms from their stomachs. I don't think this is going to end well, but I'm right. Sadly, many of his patients choked and eventually died from his invention. It was also believed that sitting in front of a bowl of milk with your mouth open would entice the worms to crawl out on their own. And in case you aren't grossed out enough, you should know that tapeworms... fuck you, Carla. If you're not grossed out enough, you should know that tapeworms are known to grow as long as 9 meters, which is an equivalent to 30 feet.
Oh. Yeah. So I have a confession. Like, I had an eating disorder when I was a teenager, and I actually thought about this for about 10 minutes.
No.
Yeah. No. Thankfully, I didn't do it. But because I...
Man, it would be really big by now.
It would be at least 9 meters. I also would weigh 20 pounds.
That's so gross.
Because it's like, I think it's still, there's still people who do this. It's bananas.
Yes. I mean, I think that it has been around for quite some time.
Yeah.
Ugh. Nope.
Yeah. So thankfully, I didn't do that. Moving on to the Elizabethan era, where wide, bright eyes were the fashion. And so women would pluck their eyebrows into these very thin, high arches, and they would use kohl to outline their eyes. And then they would add belladonna drops to dilate their pupils. So they would have these super big, black, you know, dilated pupils.
And
if you don't know, belladonna is poisonous. It's part of the nightshade family and can cause increased heart rate and high blood pressure, and in addition to nervous system dysfunction and even death. And kohl eyeliner often contains high levels of lead that over time can poison someone and make them deathly ill. And white skin was very much in the fashion. Like Queen Elizabeth would, she had smallpox when she was younger, so she would wear a lot of white makeup to basically hide any of that scarring. So she was like always plastered with makeup. And then of course, everybody wanted to do what the queen was doing as a, you know, as a form of, I don't know, subservience. So people did that. And then of course, all of those creams and powders contained really high levels of lead. So women were absorbing all of that stuff through their skin all the time.
We're not going to stop there. We've got more Victorian craziness. In that time, men and women, many of them were unhappy with their noses that they had been born with, just like today. But years before plastic surgery existed, there was a variety of companies that manufactured nose shapers or nose machines. Oh, joy. These metal devices were strapped to a person's face to squeeze the soft cartilage of their nose to be smaller or straighter than it was before. It was like the braces for your nose. And over the years, nose shapers continue to be sold. Heather Big invented a spring-loaded contraption which straps to hold the metal around the patient's face while they slept overnight and occasionally throughout the day. This trained the person's nose to begin taking a more attractive shape. I don't know. If you fell asleep on your face, you wake up in the morning, it's just like bent to shit. Dr. Sid, our buddy Dr. Sid, a surgeon from Paris during the Victorian era, reported to his English colleagues that he had created a metal spring-loaded contraption that squeezed a 15-year-old patient's large nose for 3 months until she was happy with the results. She probably just grew into her fucking nose.
Yeah. I mean, this just sounds like really anything could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Interesting. And then we go just a little bit earlier into the late 1700s and 1800s, and curly hair was very popular. You know, we watch all those old movies and women have like these ringlets of, you know, hair. And but things to remember is that those early curling irons, they were tongs that had to be heated in the fire. So if a woman pulled out that curling iron out of the fire and applied it to her hair too quickly, guess what would happen? Her hair would just literally burn off.
Yeah.
So baldness was like a huge problem for women.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So even if they became really skilled at curling their hair, there was a lot of strain on the scalp to constantly style it into curls. And I'm sure that heat was horrible as well. So, you know, even though women were going bald or burning themselves or all of these things, instead of just choosing to not curl their hair, because, you know, why would you just go to the logical thing to do? They resorted to multiple remedies of teas and medicines. And it was suggested that hair should be bathed in ammonia and water to stimulate growth. And of course, ammonia can cause respiratory problems and burn the skin. So your poor skin, that poor scalp. And it also can cause blindness.
Unless you're bringing in a Portuguese to pee on you, and then that's the ammonia you're eating.
Yes. Or then you would get one of those Bear Grease wigs.
And shit, you're going to burn your head anyways.
No matter what, that's the
outcome. Okay, and finally, we're going to go to the 1930s when the dimple machine was all the rage. In 1936, Isabel Gilbert invented a machine that allegedly created dimples. Marketed to women, the machine had two knobs that pressed into the wearer's cheeks. Wow, that hurts just like thinking about it. The devices came with these instructions. Wear dimplers, 5 minutes at a time. 2 or 3 times a day. While dressing, resting, reading, or writing, look in the mirror and laugh. Can you laugh like that? There will be a semblance of a line where you should always place the dimplers until your dimples are made. But the American Medical Association argued that the dimple maker would not make dimples or even enlarge original dimples. They also stated that prolonged use of the device may actually cause cancer. And we have a picture that maybe hopefully I can throw into Instagram or in our show notes or somewhere, or just go Google the dimple digger. Because yeah. It looks harsh as fuck.
It looks really, really uncomfortable. Basically, she's got the strap under her chin and then it's like poking right into her cheeks where the dimples should be. Pretty sure that didn't cause cancer, but pretty sure it didn't give the desired effect of dimples.
No.
But isn't that funny that
picture
that women just wanted dimples? Like that was just, you know, oh, all the rage. I need dimples.
Well, it makes sense because that's how trends happen, right? Like we see someone that's stunning or this or that. And then, it happens even today.
Absolutely.
And I think that like one of our most very fucked up trends right now is everyone on Ozempic.
Mm-hmm.
Taking Ozempic for weight loss.
Yep.
And I think that we've mentioned it before on the show, but like it's all it's going to just wait for the first celebrity to drop dead from it. Because they look like shambling corpses.
Yeah. I You know, I think that we have this, maybe it's like hubris, but we think that just because we live in this modern time that everything we do, you know, is like the pinnacle of knowledge or, you know, that it's absolutely going to work or it's not going to have side effects or any of these things. And it's like, we just laughed at all of these crazy things that, you know,
no shit.
History. People are going to do that, you know, 50 years, 100 years, 300 years from now. So just, don't make the assumption that just because you're doing something today that it's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. It's kind of, it's sad because like for a real hot minute there, we were really starting to move into body positivity of all shapes, right? And then like there was a split second where people were like, oh, we're bringing back the 90s waifs and everybody shit on them. This was only like last year. Everybody shit on them and they're like, we're not doing that again. But suddenly we're in the Ozempic era.
Yeah.
And everybody is on it. And it's so funny because I was at an appointment and I had made an Ozempic joke. I can't remember what we were talking about. And they were like, oh yeah, there's tons of people in this city that are on it for weight loss right now. And I was very shocked by that.
Yeah, that is shocking.
And then in the long run too, like you're taking it away from people that need it medically.
Yeah.
Medically. So that is like today's beauty trend that I think is like wrong for myself personally.
The saying, your body is a temple. You only got one. Don't fuck around with that kind of stuff. Like, just think about what you're putting in your body because
that's what I did.
Yeah.
All last year. And I'm not saying that I'm like, it's the same for everybody, but for all of last year, I changed my relationship with food. I dropped 25 pounds. I'm super fucking proud of myself. It's done a lot of good things for me. I think that anything you got to cheat on. Or the quick fix.
There's no shortcuts.
Yeah. You question.
It's like, you know, it's the pay now or pay later plan.
Oh, good one. I would rather.
I think that's what you always got to think about, you know, is it pay now or pay later?
As opposed to every other trend of like, you know, like, I mean, if everybody started bathing in crocodile shit tomorrow, what's a current app? We're all going to alpacas. Or teacup pigs, you know, like there may be some, I don't think that we have those crazy-ish trends and a lot more trends are accepted, like beauty wise, as long as it's not coming to like, you know, to keep up with the Joneses, do stuff for yourself and make sure it's safe.
Yeah. And I think we did a beauty episode like way back at the beginning. But, you know, to also remember that the beauty industrial complex is worth billions and billions billions of
dollars. They don't give a fuck about us.
And it's all the main messaging is that you're not enough. You don't look good enough. That's you aren't enough. And so you have to do something to change yourself. And so I guess like the take home message is, you know, we all put a lot of effort, all of us, into wanting to look good. Mm-hmm. And some people that's like a lot, some people it's just a little bit, but how about just putting like some percentage of the effort you put into doing all of these beauty things into just loving yourself mm-hmm. instead of trying to change something? Like maybe just like, you know, 5% of that and notice what happens as a result instead of buying into that narrative that somehow you aren't enough in some way of, or some beauty standard.
Or do, if you want to do these things, do them for yourself. Not because, you know, some dude's like, oh, it'll be hotter if, or, you know, like an industry trend is like, oh no, you should be doing this. I mean, I did bring up TikTok at the beginning and changing like the way that I do my makeup. But do you know why? Because I'm 46 and my makeup trend that I've like, you know, worn for fucking ever does not sit on my face the same way anymore. My classic like signature black lined eyeliner.
Yeah.
Is kind of like hanging down my face. So you got to figure out different ways to try things, right? So, because I love makeup. I think it is a great way to express my individuality. And it is just for me. It's not for the male gaze. I like it. It's fun. So if it's for yourself, go do it.
Absolutely. Love yourself up, people. It's important.
Love yourself. Don't take Ozempic for weight loss. And please don't shit on us if you are. Just be careful because we care about you.
Yeah,
That's what we mean. Yeah. So the next time on the Radical Sex Witches, we're going to go very nerdy and a little bit dirty with the science of orgasm.
I like that. Nerdy, dirty, dirty, nerdy.
That's my brand.
I know.
Anyways, I'm little Leah.
I'm Carla. We're the Radical Sex Witches, and we will see you next time.
Hello, witchy listener. It's Carla here. If you're feeling disconnected from pleasure and unfulfilled in life, reach out to me and let's connect on a free call. I love helping women like you shift to owning your sexual power, reconnecting to your body, and finding your unique radical sex witch within. Go to carlawainwright.com or find my contact info in the show notes. Let's co-create a life for you that is truly turned on.